What we'll try to do over here, and these three shurim, we're going to try to learn through the Ramchal's Biur on Tfilas Rosh Hashanah. He has a sefer called Maimer HaChachma. It's really all of 3 pages that he explains the whole Tfilas Rosh Hashanah. On those 3 pages, a number of people have written svarim, big fat ones. There's a new sefer from Rav David Kain. The whole sefer is just explaining these 3 pages of Maimer HaChachma and Sifsei Chaim. Many of the things are very well known, but a large part of his Biur HaTefillah, a majority of it, is all based on the Ramchal's Maimer HaChachma. So we'll try to learn pieces of the Maimer HaChachma and make some progress in understanding his approach. You might be familiar with a lot of the concepts because there are, you know, things that are discussed by Rosh Hashivas and so on and so forth. But we'll start right away with what he says here, and then we'll go to, you know, try to open up our heads to be able to understand what's in it, how we can relate to it, how it can help us relate to the davening, and so on and so forth. So let's begin with what he says. So this is really in the middle. He's explaining the tefillah of Zechreinu L'chaim, Micha Meicha, Chzayiv, and the Sefer. Right? So those 4 additions that were added, the tefillahs of Aseres Mei Tshuva, starting from Rosh Hashanah throughout, we make those 4 additions, 2 in the first Gemara Rishonis, 2 in the Gemara Achronis. He's coming to explain what they mean. So Indian Sefer HaChaim, Zechreinu L'chaim. So this is the first thing we say, Zechreinu L'chaim, Al-Chav Zechaim. Hine. Ha'adam nidon tchila api ma'isav. The first din that a person goes through, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines, so we determine according to what you do, limonos b'tzadikim b'rishayim, to decide whether you should be counted as a tzaddik or as a rasha. V'zeh hanikra mamish sefer achaim v'sefer mesim. And this is what's referred to as sefer achaim and sefer mesim. In other words, the hainu, hanik v'bein ha'tzadikim, a person who has been chosen or has been decided, has been judged that he's a tzaddik, and he gets written into Sefer HaChaim. Hu hanichtav b'Sefer HaChaim. He is a person who will be written in Sefer HaChaim. And it's well known that we refer to tzaddikim as chayim. The Gemara says that tzaddikim afila b'misasam kriyim chayim. Tzaddikim are always called alive, and rishayim afila b'chayim kriyim mesim. Right. So a classic way of referring to a tzaddik and a rasha is a tzaddik is a chay and a rasha is a mes, which is something we need to explain why that is and what relevance it has to us, but that's just for the terminology. When it says Sifra Chaim, Sifra Mesim, it's referring to Tzadikim and Rishayim. So the first din in Rosh Hashanah is, where should you belong? Do you belong in the Sefer Svarim of Tzadikim or the Svarim of Rishayim? So the Hainu Hanikva Ben HaTzadikim, someone who's decided that he's a Tzadik, who Hanikta V'Sefer HaChaim, he will be written down in Sefer HaChaim. V'Hanidche V'Hanikva Ben HaRishayim, and the person who is pushed away and decided that he belongs amongst Rishayim, who Hanikta V'Sefer HaMesim, he's written down in Sefer HaMesim. V'Hatali V'Oimid, and the person who is, it's not clear where he stands, who HaBeinoini, that is a person who's considered a Beinoni, She'ein Din Nigmar Yom Kippur, that this particular din, this decision, whether he's a Tzadik or a Rasha, will not be decided until Yom Kippur. And this is what we say, Zechreinu L'chaim, and likewise, Micha Meicha. So now, this particular din, right, are you a tzaddik, are you a rasha, we'll see in a second, has essentially no effect on what's going to happen to you during the year in day-to-day events, which he's going to say, you can be a tzaddik, and you can have a terrible year, horrible. And you can be a rush, and you can have a great year, right? And you can get everything that you're davening for. So when we come to davening, and, you know, we say Zechayin L'chaim, and you're Kanak and Kavana, L'chaim, you have to realize, what are you davening for? You know, what could be going through your head is, you know, I need this, and I need that, and that, and all these things, and that's what's fueling your tefillah. And that's not even what you're davening for, according to the Ramchal. Now, we'll understand what this means in a moment. First, let's just finish, and then we'll get to a little bit deeper understanding here. Next, he says, "Uchsoiv l'chaim tayv m'sefer chaim." That's the second part, the parts we say in the Gimel Achrayinus, in Sim Shalom and in Mechal Chaim. V'amnam oydish aside from that, there's hagzeris al hamikrim shabal mazeh. There's the individual decisions on everything that will happen to you in this world. Ki afshel tzadik sheyis yaser. It's very possible that a tzadik deserves to get yisurim. Mibnei hayoyis a tzadik, specifically because he's a tzadik. Ve'afshel shemibnei tzidkech yitzliach. And it's also possible that as a result of him being a tzadik, he'll be matzliach and everything will go right. V'la rasha k'maykein afshel shiyitzliach. Mibnei hayoyis a rasha. Rasha, it's possible he will have atzlacha because he's a rasha, which means, as we know, that in other words, he's getting paid off as tzidkis, so whatever mitzvah that he did is getting paid off in this world. And it's also possible that being Russia, he'll lose everything, or he'll get punished, he'll have yisurim. V'nimtzu gzeris elu, these gzeris, nimshachas achrei hadin harishin shezacharna, they follow after the first din. Now, first we decide you're a tzaddik, you're a Russia, and then we'll decide according to that what should happen to you. On these gzeres, and as the particular gzeres, how you should live your life, what should happen to you, what you should get in this world, that's where mispal chsev l'chaim toivim v'chaim b'sefer chaim bracha. So in order to come to understand what's going on over here, why are we being mispal that we should be a tzaddik or we should be a rasha? How could you be mispal that you should be a tzaddik or a rasha? And what sort of approach are we supposed to be having to these tefillos? And from this, we'll go on to tefillos Rosh Hashanah. So we'll give a little hakdama over here. Really, we come to Rosh Hashanah and we're all fired up to daven, you know, about our tzrachim. You know, we're impressed with the importance of the day and how there is a din and it's going to be decided whether we're going to live, what's going to happen to our family, what's going to happen to us, our parnasa, and all that. And then we start davening tefillos Rosh Hashanah and there's nothing in there about it. No mention. Not even in the slightest. We talk about Mashiach, we talk about Malchus Shemayim, we talk about the Chen Ten Pachtecha, a lot of nice things, but we don't talk about any of those things. And there's discussion about Musar, should you still make a Bakasha anyway, in other places in davening, good, that's a nice discussion, but the fact is, the Tefillos Rosh Hashanah, that's not what they are. The majority of what you're davening Rosh Hashanah, you're davening about things that seem to be very, very elevated and very spiritually high, and we would think that, make it easy for us, put in the tefillah about parnasa, put in the tefillah about our kids, put in the tefillah about all those things, and then we'll be able to knock a tefillah for Shana, and then we'll be able to have the harigash, we'll be able to scream, we'll be able to daven, you know, like we daven by, we scream by Avinu Malkeinu, we'll be able to do that in Milosh Manasseh, but that's not the way it was designed. Now, that having been said, we do most certainly need to employ those hargeshim, and those hargeshim of the needs that we have in the din, those are all everything that fuels our tefillah. But that's not specifically what tefillah is. Now, on Rosh Hashanah, really the whole year, whenever you daven, but on Rosh Hashanah we can't fool ourselves. When a person davens, really we have to become a little bit bigger than a very mitzumtzum and focused and small worldview. We have to be bigger than that. I mean, you know, an animal, a horse, has what it needs, right? It gets its food, it does its work, and it's presumably happy, I imagine. I don't know how you gauge a horse's emotions, but we would imagine it's happy. It doesn't have a mortgage to pay, it doesn't have a building to build, it doesn't have any of those things to bother it, it just does its thing, right? But we don't want to be a horse. Why not? I mean, we can be happy, right? So why don't we want to be a horse? Because we understand there's more to life than that. Likewise, you see a child. So a child has what he wants or doesn't have what he wants, and his whole world revolves around, does he have his toy or doesn't he have his toy? And that's what makes him happy and that's what makes him sad. And we don't want to be a child either, even though it's like a much simpler type of life. It's not so complex. It's very easy to be happy and very easy to be sad. It's just very easy to live your life without so many worries. But we don't want to be a child either. We look at the way non-Jews live their life, right? Also, the ones that aren't religious, Akopanim, their whole life revolves around fulfilling a few taivas or whatever it is, their pleasures they want, or whatever it is, even if they're not people that just run after pleasures all day. They work, go to sleep. They don't really have too much of a meaning and a greater purpose in life. And we don't want to be that either. Right, so we understand the bigger understanding we have. Once a person has that bigger understanding, he has no interest in being the lower category of creation, even though that seems to be so much easier and so much simpler and so much more geschmack. We have no desire, because as being intelligent people, we understand once there's a bigger world out there, then we understand it's stupidity to want less. So likewise, bigger tzaddikim who have the worldview, they understand that this part of the world, the one we're in, is a very, very small part of a person's real life, right? When we talk about the life of a person as a nitzchias that extends way beyond the 70, 80, 90, 120 years that a person lives on this world, right? There's nitzchias that goes on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years past that. So the worldview to be consumed with just what's going to be this year and this life, and not to be margish beyond that, is a very, very mitzumtzum and very, very small. It's basically making yourself a horse to some extent, right? Where we know it's much more than that. We don't necessarily think about it. But if we were to just give it a little thought, you know, we realize that this particular what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, will I be successful at that or not be successful at that? Will this go well? Go, you know, whatever it is, my day-to-day challenges or year-to-year challenges, is a very, very narrow view of what my real life represents and what my real purpose is. And it's not really, it's all something we all believe, and if we give it a little thought, we realize there's that much more to it. So, really, when we daven, we talk about so many things that are beyond us. We do have Rafa'inu, we do have Baruch Aleinu, and we do have these things, you know, that address in our daily tefillos, things that are important to us. But we also have things that are very, really, when you think about it, very elevated things. We talk about the Kaaba Shefer Gadol, Kibbutz Galiyos, we talk about Ashiva Shevteinu, we talk about Tzemach David, we talk about V'sechazanu Einenu. If you stop a moment to give it thought, why do we want Kibbutz Galiyos? What do we stand to gain? We want to have 1,000 Yidden in this room? Why do we want it? What's so good about that? It seems okay, you know, we have enough people here, or whatever. Like, you know, there's things you have to think about. We daven about it. That means we realize there is a greater purpose over here that's important to us, and that's what we really represent. So when it comes to Tefillas Hashana, you just can't fool yourself, because the Chazal threw away, so to speak, removed all that from Tefillas Hashana, all the daily, day-to-day purpose, and they focused on what a person's real life is. Our real life is living the full life, which starts from when we're born, to hundreds and hundreds of years, way after a person's nifter. Your life is way bigger than just a couple of years you're here. And it encompasses much more than that. And that life, the purpose of it, is to be mizdabek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when we talk about when a person is a tzaddik and a rasha, and we'll just, you know, we'll zoom in on for a moment what this means. Let's just think about something we all know, right? We are all aware that a tzaddik, when a person has decided that he's a tzaddik, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs your life in this world based on what will be in the next world. That's what's important to a tzaddik. That's what a tzaddik wants. That's what a tzaddik's working for. So he gets whatever good he gets in this world is in order to enable him to achieve what he needs in the next world. Whatever bad he gets in this world is to make sure he has a perfect world when he gets to Olam Haba. A rasha is the opposite. A rasha, he's not serving Hashem, so anything he gets in this world comes off his cheshbin in the next world. And it's very expensive. I think Chaim used to say, this world can be an extremely expensive hotel. My parents, remember, told me once, I think we're in Switzerland, in a Jewish hotel, the number of Jewish-run hotels over there. So they were there, and, you know, they were touring, so they were going to go out that day on some sort of tour, so they made themselves sandwiches. And they wanted, some vegetables to put in the sandwich. So they went to the kitchen, and they asked them for a tomato. That was it, one tomato. So they gave them a tomato. They gave them a few slices of tomato. They put in their sandwich. When they got the bill, there was a $5 charge or more for vegetables. You know, there was every kazayas that you consume was charged. So the world is really every ounce that a person consumes is with a cheshbin. So either it's on your own cheshbin or it's on Hashem's cheshbin. So if a person is tzaddik, so then it comes off Hashem's cheshbin. He's being provided what he needs to do his work. If he's a rasha, so then it comes off your own cheshbin. And it comes off the whole person's own cheshbon. So we daven that we should be written in Sifrei Tzadikim. It's not going to necessarily directly affect what will happen to us in this world, because that's the next decision. That's the end of the. That's what we daven in B'Sefer, that we should have, you know, everything that we need in this world to continue to serve Hashem. The first tefillos we're davening is it shouldn't come off our cheshbon in nitzchias. We should be in Sifron Shel Tzadikim. This is the simplest understanding of what we're doing. We're Sifron Shel Tzadikim, and this should be all given to us in order to enable us to work as Avodas Hashem. So again, we daven these first tefillos, and they were put in there, extra tefillos. And we approach them thinking that, okay, you know, this is where we finally say what we need and what we want. And it's true, it is what we need and what we want, but it's beyond the narrow understanding of what we need right now. It's what we need on the grander scale, what we need for our real life. And that's why it's important, this is really important for all tefillos of Hashanah, but I'm just pointing out, the reason why I started with this is to show even the part of davening that we think we're finally addressing those needs is beyond the simple needs. That's not really what we're doing. What we're really doing is we're talking about our greater purpose over here. Now, to understand it a little better, and understand the point of Tefillah B'chlal, especially Tefillah Rosh Hashanah, I want to learn this next piece over here in Sif Sechaim. This part of Sif Sechaim is actually coming to explain this piece of Ramchal, but this is his intro. So, Madua Mispal Magashmi is Taiva. This is why do we daven for good gashmias? Hine, yesh levar madu anu mispalim. Why do we daven? Umevakshem Hashem is baruch sheyigzer aleinu gzeres tayvus. Why do we daven Hashem that he should be gozer on us good gzeres? Afo pi shekam kashu loin nevakish davar. It would seem to be that even if we don't ask a single thing, kol mashak kadosh baruch hu oisalan, we know that everything that kadosh baruch hu does for us, hatayvus veharayus, good or bad, hu rak l'tayvus einu. Right, that's something we're taught from grade school on, and it's something we can't say kaseder or mechazik ourselves and mechazik other people. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol madad avid rachman letav avid, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, he does for good, he only does good. Everything that's bad is really for the good, etc., etc. And kein lama anu mevakshem shehashem is baruch yaseh. Why do we ask Hashem to do es ma shenir be'einenu toiv, what we think is good? Leave him, he's doing a good job. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us whatever he wants to give us, whatever he needs to give us. He'll just, regardless of what we do and say, he'll give us what's good and what we need. Why are we davening for? V'aid, im hatzaris heim l'tavisenu, if the truth is that the tzaris are good for us, madu yishana HaKadosh Baruch Hu asakzera b'glal bakash sen. Why would Hashem change that? Because we're davening. He's doing it for our good. We need this tzara. Whatever the reason is, for all the cheshbonos and all the stories of it ended up being good, and then or it's lost at lava, or it's, you know, there's thousands of cheshbonos, whatever it is, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for our good, so how will davening change that? He's not going to do the bad thing for us, or we're davening that he should do the bad thing? It doesn't make sense. So Ella, he says, Memnei, Shematarus Hatfila Vahabakashois. The point of davening and being mevakash from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he lahakar shakal habriya b'chlal, the whole creation, ve'etzem etziusenu, and our existence, v'chol tzrucheinu b'frat, and everything that we need, and specifically, each particular need that we have, hinam b'yad Hashem Yisbarach, they're all in the hands of Hashem Yisbarach, ha'mechadesh u'mahava oisem b'chol rega, who creates them, is mechadesh them, and mahava them, and he maintains them in every second. That's the point of tefillah, to come to that recognition, that everything is b'yad Hashem. V'kashin nargish kach, and when we feel that, Nisbatel and Nisbatel Klapov, then we are Nisbatel Takadish Baruch, we give ourselves over, but Niskar Avail is Baruch, and we come close to Hashem. Ubischar Hahakarazu, and as a schar, as a reward for this recognition, Ukudela Azrenu, and to help us, Lehischazik Be'emunu Seinu, to become stronger in Amuna, Yemala Hashem Mishala Seinu. Then Akadish Baruch will fill our requests, Kasher Miluyan Hulu Taviseinu, provided that it's good for us. It's only through tefillah that we're ready to be mekablam. So I want to give a little bit more depth to this. I mean, it means like this. The Besilas Hashem says that the only thing that's good in this world is Iskarvus Hashem. The only thing that's good in this world is becoming close to Hashem. There is nothing else that's good. And again, if we take a little wider look on the world, more than just our day-to-day, you know, horse type of approach to the world, eating, drinking, and enjoying, when we realize, yes, that's true, right? And the greater picture, the point of living, and after the what's going to happen after a person passes away, that's what he's going to have. He's going to have his Karvas Lashem. That is all that exists. that is all that exists certainly after a person passes away, and with a little more of a hakar, a little more of understanding, we all realize that's really all that is worth it in this world as well. So he says, kol mashas yakshu adam l'tayv, anything else that's good is silliness, is havel v'shavness. That's all that's good. Ani kirbas Hashem alekim l'tayv, that's the only thing that's good. I only want one thing, the Ramal said, and that's shifted b'beis Hashem. That's what Mesillas Yesharim says. Now, what that means is that when we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this, which we want to be good, it's only good if it is going to cause more eskarvus l'Hashem. Now, we understand if we daven for something, right? Let's say you need something, and you daven for it, and you get it the next day. Very straightforward, cause and effect. You daven, you get it the next day. So then you know, you got this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's going to be very clear to you. You daven, then you got it. You were waiting for it, you needed it, it wasn't happening, you daven, and came through, you got it. Right? So then it's very clear it came from Hashem. So what you got, the good that you got, wasn't that you got the thing. The good is that you now realize you got something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The good is you realize now you have a kasher with Hashem. You realize that there is, everything is from Hashem. You got to that hakar. That's the good here. That was what's good. That's the good that was accomplished. So, when think of it like this, there are certain things that a person needs, and you would give your children, regardless of whether they know it's coming from you, whether they don't know it's coming from you, right? They need food, they need clothing, they need certain things. You'd give that to your children, even if they have no idea it came from you, because they're your children, they need it to survive. But would you write a card to your child, a beautiful card, telling him how much you love him, and how much this, and all that, and how much he means to you, and how much you appreciate him, and not sign it? They would have no idea who wrote the card. So you understand, it's pointless. There's no purpose, right? That's very nice, it's very touching, but if they don't know who it's from, then it doesn't accomplish anything. It's totally defeating the purpose. In the Olam, in the true world, everything in this world is that card, is that gift card. The only tachlis is if we know who signed the card. If we don't have that hakara who signed the card, then it's a pointless thing. It has absolutely no point. It doesn't advance you in this world. It does not good for you. It doesn't help you. It doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't do anything for you. It is nothing in our true life. So when we're davening, the purpose of davening is that whatever we get, we know it's from Hashem. That's the purpose of davening. We're davening for all these things so that when we get it, it's from Hashem that we're getting it, not that we just got it, because then it's bad, then it's pointless, then there's no purpose. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us what we need because He wants us to do our job, and He wants to be mezakas, and He wants us to be able to get what's good. And therefore, very often, and Baruch Hashem, without the proper kavanah and the proper tefillah, we get it anyway, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a taiva ametiv. But all those things that we're getting, if we want them to be true taiv, if we want to actually get something from it, and to get what really is taiv, the only way is through tefillah. And as a result of that, everything beyond what is absolutely necessary for a person to continue his avodas Hashem will only come through tefillah. It won't come any other way, because that it's not doing anything for you. It's not giving us anything. We're not accomplishing anything. So that's the nekuda he's saying over here. He calls it the schar akara. Let's go a little further over here. Uba'ifin miyuchad b'yimei ha'din, and specifically during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Yimei ha'din, kasher anu makirim al yedei ha'tfila, when we realize through tefila, she'Hashem yizbaruch hu mikar ha'rachman, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of rachmanis, az, anruyim, that is when we're roi, she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisna ha'gitanu b'rachamim, that's when we're roi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should treat us with rachmanis. V'yigzer aleinu gzeiris tovis b'gashmias, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should then give gzeiris tovis and gashmias, she'yukelu aleinu es avaydis Hashem b'shan ha'nachnasa, to make it easier for us to do avaydis Hashem in the coming year. Afo pi shalafi matzaveinu haruchni b'shas ha'din, even though according to our particular matziv, haruchni during the din, perhaps, einenu ruin l'kach, we don't really deserve it, b'gedesh al nesina sashroi, it's looked at as we're given credit. Al-Khaj bin Asid, so that we can pay up, so to speak, in the coming year. L'nesayin mechudish, to a new chance. Shebemeshach Hashan and Nashavela, this year will takadu tshuva, come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nasas v'sayinim v'navdehu v'lev shalom. So, to summarize what we accomplished over here is like this. We got an understanding, the Ramchal's understanding in the Zachreinu L'chaim Micha Meicha. Then that understanding is that what we're davening here is that we should be nikva in Sifran Shal Tzadikim, which means that the purpose of what we're doing and the purpose of Avodas Hashem and everything we get should be something that furthers our true purpose in this world, something that furthers our true connection to Hashem, our true Dveikus Hashem, and our true Olam Haba, our true Ruchnius, our true Asidus. That's what we're davening in the beginning. Then in B'Sefer, we ask then that it should follow through. Yes, a tzaddik sometimes will get Yisurim. But we're asking and we're davening that we want to have that full hakara. We want to come to the full hakara of Hashem by recognizing that whatever good He gives us is from Him, and then we'll get the taif that way. We'll accomplish the good that way. Instead of when we don't do that and we don't recognize the good is from Him, then He has to bring us the recognition of Him in other ways. And that's why Le'aleinu Yisurim and Saras and etc. There is no other way for us to come to recognize that we need to get down on our knees and beg. Sometimes that is the only way we can come closer, through to Yisurim and Saras. But what we're davening is, no, You give it to us, we'll know it's coming from You, we'll recognize it's from You, and through that we'll be margish that the taiv is from You, and we'll come to the taiv, we'll come to the real, true, emes, good, what's good for us, of Hezkar v'Slashem. That's the two tefillahs we're doing. The tefillah in the beginning is the recognition, and the tefillah for that, Mir Tashem, we'll explain hopefully next time, what it means to be mispalel, that someone should be written in Sefer Shal Tzadikim. Sounds like it's a simple tally. We'll count up. Either you deserve it or you don't, but that's a discussion, separate discussion. There's a tefillah, a person could be mispalel, he should be in Sifrin Shel Tzadikim, in order that whatever good he gets should be not on his account, not taken off his account, but rather to further his Avodas Hashem. Everything given to him should be given not as an nisayon, but rather as a furthering of Avodas Hashem, bringing him closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in the later tefillahs, what we're davening is that we're davening to come to the recognition that everything is from Hashem. So that being that this is so important, here's the key. When a person davens, if his davening doesn't bring him a step closer to that, he hasn't really accomplished that much. Which means, if his davening hasn't brought him a step closer to the recognition that what he's going to get is from Hashem, which means that tomorrow when he gets what he gets, that davening hasn't brought him that much closer to say, oh, then tomorrow, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu answered my tefillahs. If it doesn't do that, then you haven't really accomplished that much. Because that's what you're trying to do. So a focus in tefillah is to work on this recognition, work on this hargish, that everything we're getting is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why we're davening. It really, one would think it's natural, but obviously, without thinking, it doesn't come naturally. We're davening because we have that recognition that everything is from Hashem, but we need to work on that. And we need to work on daily using our tefillah to help us come to that recognition for each thing that we're getting, that we're getting it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if the tefillah didn't help us with that, if we didn't put that focus on the tefillah, we didn't emphasize that, we didn't work on the hergish, we really haven't moved. Right? Tefillah is the natural way the Chachamim set for us to move, to grow, to be mis'alah. And if we don't utilize it, then we've lost out. Right? We haven't accomplished the purpose. Right? So when we're davening on tefillah for Rosh Hashanah, and we'll speak about it in Yitzhak Shem also. We learned other parts of the Ramchal where he explains the Chente and Pachtecha. We'll see a little bit more of how it works and how it is. But the Aleph Beis is, the focus is, it needs to bring us up, to help us steig, to help us move up one darga in more recognition that what we're getting is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through that, we can daven and have a purpose and say, okay, it'll accomplish something. Give us taiv and we'll come to bigger Hakara. Give us taiv, we'll come closer to Hashem. We'll have true Iskarvus.